John chapter number 3. Look with me there. In John chapter number 3. Boy, it's just good to be saved.
Amen.
And know, thank God, whom you believe. And know that God put this proof in you tonight. John chapter number 3. And I'm going to read a few verses. And may the Lord use the word of God in your heart. John chapter 3. The Bible said in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Well, I'm going to preach tonight, if God will help me a little while, on Nicodemus. I'm interested in Nicodemus. I mean, here's a man that was called a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night. And the Bible said, Jesus said, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I mean, he didn't know what it was to be saved. He didn't know what it was to be born again. I mean, Nicodemus had no understanding of what Jesus was saying. I mean, you think about the natural mind tonight. The natural mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They cannot because they're spiritually discerned. He does not know. You can only be, my friend, born again by the Spirit of God. The natural man don't receive the things of God. He cannot. He has no ability within himself to have the understanding that only the Holy Ghost can give a man is to know the things of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, friend, there's not as many people saved tonight as they say they are. There's a lot of people tonight that never has had spiritual understanding, never have had a move of God on them and open their blinded eyes and save their soul. No, they're just digging for something that would change their position, but it will not do it. It's got to be God Almighty. If anybody gets saved, it's got to be a new birth, a God birth of a man, the family of God. I tell you tonight, friend, if you got saved, you got to admit tonight that it was of the Spirit of God, that it was of God Almighty, coming where you were at and dealing with your heart and bringing you in the family of God. You can't get saved no other way. I tell you, friend, it's got to be. Thank God, a new birth. It's got to be second birth. It's got to be a move of God. And my friend Nicodemus, he didn't have no understanding. Amen. He didn't have none. He come to Jesus and he said, We know you're a teacher. Come from God. No man can do this miracles without doing except God be with him. What a good observation. Amen. Good observation. Oh, God, help us that when sinners come in, they'd observe us enough to see that we have something more than just religious talk or more than just religious service, that we come here and meet together and just go back to the house, that we have known, thank God, of the grace of God and salvation and been born again by the Spirit of God. I tell you tonight, friend, it's more valuable than your next breath is to know you've been born again. I tell you, there'd be nothing more important in eternity than to know that you've been born again. There'd be nothing more important in this earth. Thank God, it's more important than the money you make. It's more important than the house you live in. It's more important than the position you hold. Hey, God, it's more important than anything else. I mean, one old preacher said, hey, man, being saved, what else matters? I mean, really, when it comes to eternity tonight, what else matters, amen, than to know, thank God, you've been saved, that you've been born again. I don't know of anything else more important than to know, thank God, I've been saved. I mean, born twice, have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, bearing witness with my spirit that I'm one of His, and He chose me out, thank God, from
from a world of sinners and set His affection on me and let me thank God for Himself and save me by the grace of God and wash me in the blood of Christ and make me a new creature, thank God, by His power and put in my heart a desire to love Him and serve Him. I can't. That's all the grace of God. That's what the new birth does to anybody. It's not just one person. It's everybody that's ever been saved that God puts in his own heart a desire for God, a desire for the things of God, and to have a spiritual understanding of what it means to be born again and have God in the heart. I tell you, friend, it's more than an intellectual move. It's more than just believing in your head. It's got to be God Almighty in your heart. And if it isn't in your heart, it won't happen. I tell you, the Bible said God opened Lydia's heart one day and she got saved by the riverside. I never find one time that she went to an altar. I never find one time, thank God, if somebody went over there and said, "What you want to be saved?" Thank God, Paul preached to her, and she opened. God opened her heart, and she got born again. I tell you what, friend, thank God, when God opens a man's heart and gives him understanding, he's on the way. Thank God, no man can know unless the Holy Ghost gives him comprehension, understanding. Amen. He can't see the kingdom of God unless God shows it to him. Amen. That's right. That's what the word see means. It don't mean a literal eyesight of it. It means a spiritual understanding. Right. That word see there means that. It means to know. It means to perceive. It means to comprehend. It means to understand. That's what it means. When old Brother Stedman said, "John, you got to be born again." I got mad at him because I couldn't be born again. I didn't like what he said. I didn't understand what he said. Well, I'd heard Baptist people say, "You got to be born again." But I thought it was just Baptist doctrine. I thought it was just somebody else saying this. But when they said it, it had something with it, amen. It just wasn't words, it was the Holy Ghost. I touched my sinful heart, knowing I was going to hell. I was bound in sin and couldn't get out. I wanted to be born again, but I didn't know how to get born again. I'm telling you now, friend, there's a lot of people, thank God, is trying to get in. And Jesus said, "Many shall strive, but will not enter in." You know why? Because they doing it. It ain't what you do, it's what He did. It's not what you can do, it's what God does. Hey, God, Nicodemus couldn't understand it because it was past the natural mind. It couldn't be done by mankind. It couldn't be figured out by mankind. It couldn't be worked out by mankind. It had to be a sovereign act of the wind of God to blow on sinful hearts and bring them in the family of God. I say hallelujah. I might be preaching it, but I like it, amen. And God done that for me on the day I was lost and brought me in the family of God. It was God Almighty. It wasn't myself. It was the wind that blew, amen. Thank God. Amen. One day I was sitting in my kitchen. I lived in Granite Quarry, and the old devil jumped on my shoulder and he said, "You're not saved." He said, "You ain't saved. Look at these other people. They done something different than you did when you got saved." I got to thinking and didn't do nothing. Amen. And God said, "Look out the window, son." I looked out the window. Man, that wind was bending that tree. Thank God, wind just planted down to yard. And God says, "What's that tree doing? How'd they get blown apart?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "What'd you do to get blown upon?" I said, "Nothing." Thank God. He said, "What'd you do at the first birth? What'd you have to do with that?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "What'd you do at the second birth?" I said, "Nothing. You done it all, God. I just had to present the sinner. I just had to come as I was. I couldn't do nothing, God, unless you done it for me." I mean, it takes the Holy Ghost. That's what he said to Nicodemus. It's got to be him. Thank God to come to you. I tell you, there's nothing man can do but what God tells him to do. And he can't do it that God tells him to do it. And when you got saved, if you got saved at an altar, it's because God called you to an altar. It's because the Holy Ghost got a hold of your heart and brought you an altar. I'm telling you tonight, friend, there's been a many a try in this air to make a way for man. But brother, the way's done been made. It's in Christ. He is the way. And the only way we get there, thank God, to be born again, and being born again is by the Spirit of God. Amen. That's right. Amen. He opened my blinded eyes on the day I got saved. He let me see with a spiritual eye what Christ did for me. Thank God, I don't understand it all. I understood that day I was a lost sinner. I understood that day, thank God, He was a Savior. And I understood too that it was God that done it. Amen. It couldn't be me. I couldn't save myself. Boys, we've just got to get down to Ephesians 2:8. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift to God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, it's not of yourself. It was the good favor of God. What is grace, preacher? Grace is the favor of God on undeserving man. There wasn't nobody that ever deserved God Almighty to move upon them. Nobody. I think you're a good boy. I really do. You still got flaws like we all do, but I think you're a good boy. I really do. I think you are too. But there's never been anybody born that God looked at and said, he's good enough for me to move on. God. Nobody. It don't matter who it is. It's God Almighty in His good power through the gospel of moving on sinners. Ain't God the way He wants to. And He does it in His own will. Amen. What I'm preaching tonight is what old Baptists used to preach till we got where we couldn't produce numbers. And therefore now we're preaching the gospel the way God says it is. And amen, God brings them in. It's not as much as I'd like to see, but I can't do nothing about that. We go to jail. You go up there and preach to them people, and what, you know what we're doing? We're giving the Word of God out. Hey, but God says here, hey God, He said preach the Word. God says it, please God, about the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I understand, no, every time I stand, it don't matter where it's at, whether it's in a church house, whether it's in a jail, thank God, whether it's in a restaurant, or whether it's in a restaurant, thank God, somebody's home. Hey, the Word of God has the power, thank God, to get a hold of sinners and save their soul. If God will blow on it, if God will move on it, if God will touch it, He'll bring sinners in. Amen. That's right. I mean, I'll tell you what, I've heard young boys pray like this boy. Feel the touch of God. I have. I was at a restaurant one time. A preacher and his boys. And I'll be honest with you. He's asked his little 7-year-old boy to pray. And I was thinking in my mind, what's he asking him to pray? And the little old boy bowed his head. And I felt the power of God in just such a sincere prayer. I'm telling you, why you want to cut God short and not believe God tonight that God could use anybody whom He chooses to use to glorify His Son and work in sinners' hearts. Amen. He can, brother. Don't you think, yeah, this is a one-man show? It is. It's Christ, though. I tell you that. It ain't just the preacher. It ain't just the deacon. It ain't the Sunday school teacher. I'm telling you, they're good. That's what God chose. He chose a way of God, a way to get the Word out. But it's the whole church. And that's the whole body. Anybody saved, God can use tonight. Anybody saved, God might use your testimony. Thank God to get a hold of a sinner and bring them in the family of God. And tonight, when the wind blows, it blows upon His own choosing. Amen. Go outside tonight and tell the wind to blow. Yeah. Wind blow. Don't blow off what you say. Let's get down and pray, God, wind to blow. That'd be a whole lot better than commanding the wind.
That's right.
Amen. Let's get out and say, Lord, would you blow your holy wind? God, would you move? Amen. Amen. He said, Nicodemus said, how can these things be?
Yeah.
He didn't understand. He didn't understand. He said, can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, except the man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I know and understand there's some interpretations on the water there. People, you know, I would not fall out with any man that believes the water right there is the Word of God. I would not. Because I know the Word of God is what it takes for a man to be saved. I wouldn't fall out with a man over that. I will fall out with a man that says it's water baptism. Because it's not water baptism. I personally think he's talking about a natural birth in my own heart. Why, preacher? Because he's talking about two births here. He's talking about a natural birth and a spiritual birth. That's what he's talking about. That's the whole context. The context of the scripture is, and let me say this, why would Nicodemus know anything about the Word of God being a type of the water? In fact, his skin is not natural understanding, but it is clear context right here that he's talking about. He's talking about a natural birth and a spiritual birth, and you got to have a second birth. And if you don't have a second birth, then you're not born again, and you're not going to heaven, and you're not got the kingdom of God in you. I'm telling you, you got to have a second birth tonight, amen. I mean, even though Wesleyan Ryder, thank God, that wrote that good "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," he said, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give the second birth. You wonder how many religious churches sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" at Christmas time. I guarantee you the Methodists sing it, the Lutherans sing it, and probably the Catholics sing it, and they get down to that verse and wonder what in the world they're thinking. I guess they think that being reborn is being infant baptized. They believe they're born again by the waters of infant baptism. Which many Baptists have been martyred for not receiving the baptism of a bunch of heretics.
Right.
Amen. Nicodemus had to be a clean man. He was on the Sanhedrin court or council. He was the highest Jewish council in the first century. Chief priest referred to this. This man was a really refined, religious, ruling Pharisee. He was a separatist. He was a legalist. You know what a legalist is, don't you? A legalist is add anything to grace for salvation. Anything. A legalist is saying you've got to keep these traditions if you're going to be saved.
Right.
Legalism is mentioned in Acts when they said you've got to be circumcised to be saved. That's legalism.
Right.
Any Baptist preacher that tells you you've got to do anything but have faith in the person of Christ is a legalist. No matter who he is. If he's preaching anything plus Christ, if he's adding anything to Christ to be saved, then he's a legalist.
Right.
I don't care who he is. He can say these are things that happen in a man's life when he gets saved, but he'll never say this man has to do that to be saved. He don't have to do anything but repent and believe to be saved. If he don't do that, he's not saved. But brother, I'm telling you tonight, there's been a lot of people backed into a religious corner and had a profession after profession because they thought they wasn't doing enough. I'm telling you tonight, you'll never do enough. It's what he done. It's not what you did. They're not rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm telling you. I think people sometimes make two or three professions. But I think when people make six and seven professions in a church, I think it's the preaching's fallacy. I really do. I think somewhere that people think they've got to do something. And they can't attain it, so they just keep making a profession. Instead of, thank God, just getting a hold of the Word of God and letting it get rooted in your heart and saying, praise God, this is what God says. Isn't that right? How many times have people just been coaxed into making a profession and hearing preachers pat their, put a feather in their hat because they got somebody to make another profession? I'm telling you, if a man's lost, he ought to get saved. I don't care how many he's made, but the fact of it is, when people have to make profession after profession after profession after profession, it's not conviction, it's confusion. And I'm telling you tonight, they need to get grounded in the book and see what God says and leave them alone when they come to the altar. Amen. Nicodemus, he didn't understand. He didn't understand, brother. He didn't have no understanding. He said, how can these things be? Jesus said, if I told you earthly things you don't understand, how are you going to understand these heavenly things? In fact, I can't do it, man. How in the world did Paul understand? He wrote a good bit of the New Testament. He told it. He said, I wasn't taught it by man, neither received it by man, but thank God by revelation of Jesus Christ that He showed it to me, that He unveiled it to me. It's like God Almighty coming and said, look, buddy, I know you can't understand. I know you can't read, but I want to open it up to you today, and here it is.
Yeah, that's right.
You didn't know that day you got saved. If somebody said the day you got saved, you'd say, how'd you get saved? You probably couldn't say much of nothing.
That's right.
That'd be like asking a baby when they're born, how'd you get born?
Yeah. Go ahead.
They don't know nothing about it. Amen. Unless you really was known something about the Bible. I mean, when I got saved, I didn't know nothing. One old guy said, I didn't know pea turkey. Amen. I just knew I was lost and needed a Savior. That's it. I didn't know how to get saved. I mean, I'd heard men tell me. I mean, I'd done prayed two or three prayers, and I didn't even make an open profession after them. Amen. But the day God saved me, it was concrete. He opened my eyes. He let me see. And when He opened my eyes and let me see, then thank God that was all it needed to be. Amen. I got saved. Christ came into me, and I received Him, and He received me. It's just the way it is. Nicodemus didn't understand that. He said, you got to be born again. You got to have a second birth. You got to have a quickening of the Holy Ghost. You got to have God to come upon you. It's the wind that blows. It's blowing on people, and it's got to blow on you, Nicodemus. And if it don't blow on you, then you never will be born again. Amen.
Right.
Notice just what he said in verse 8. He said, so is everyone that's born in the Spirit. Somebody said, I didn't get saved the way you did. Yeah, you did. You might have had different circumstances surrounding it. I read of that old man of God that went and heard that man preach on Romans 13:14. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That old man of God went. You know what he done when he got there? Thank God he listened to him.
Yeah.
I thought, boys, I'm telling you, you ever saw them old preachers, pictures of them preachers in these old chapels back in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s? You ever see how people set up in church? I mean, some of them setting up in church.
Yeah.
They were scared to death to move or say about anything. They probably, some of the men had, amen. Shut up. Listen. Oh, Augustine, some of them old men. Hey, listen. You know what the Bible says? It says faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You know what it said about that old man? He said, I heard that man of God preach. And he said, I went out there and he said, I was under a tree. And I was meditating upon what that man of God preached. And when I was meditating upon what that man of God preached, he said, the Holy Ghost was the whole time had taken that word and pricking my heart and being in my heart. And he said, after a while, the more I meditated, the more I seen the truth. And God opened my blinded eyes. And he said, I got saved. You ever read Charles George Mueller?
Yeah.
He was a heathen.
Yeah.
He's a drunkard. He's the one that had all them orphanages. Took care of them orphans. Great man. Man of faith. Man of faith. Never asked for a dime.
Never.
Never. He prayed everything he ever had. Everything. Them kids would sit at the table and they wouldn't even have nothing to eat. They'd be praying. Have somebody knock on the door and bring them food.
Amen.
Amen. It would. I read that book on him. It said old Mueller, he was a heathen. He tried religion for a while, and he'd go back to cussing, drinking, doing everything else he did. And he said, one night I went to a prayer meeting. That's what he said. I went to a prayer meeting. And some man got down on his knees and started praying. And everybody, when that man got to praying, dropped to their knees. And while that man was praying, and see, in the fervency of God's power, the Holy Ghost took that Word of God that man had done preached, and through that praying, he said, when I knelt down to pray, and he said, I got down to pray, he said, I didn't know how to pray. He said, I felt such a feeling come upon me. That's what he said, the power of God. You know what it was? The wind blowing.
Amen.
Amen. You know what Baptists try to do? They try to say, no, it's just got to be this way. No, it's got to be God.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right, preacher.
Old John Wesley, he's a lost Methodist preacher. Come to the United States, went back. Praise God for Mr. Whitfield. He is a preacher. Ain't no telling me times George Whitfield preached. Amen. That's right. He heard that truth. He must be born again. Amen. Heard Martin Luther's commentary on Romans about the just shall live by faith. And it said the wind blowed on him that day.
and wrought perfect peace in his heart that now he had been saved. Amen. You must be born again. It's not of you, friend. It's of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Amen. I like it, don't you? You know why? Because God done it.
That's right.
Amen. What God does is forever. It's not just a little piece. We didn't get a paper tonight and say, come up here. Everybody sign your name on it. Let's join the church. Let's get religious. Let's get us a little club here. We'll meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll take up an offering. We'll go back to the house. Hey, let's just do it like that. No, God said, I got to birth people in the church. I got to birth people in my family. I got to birth people where they are. Right, God, it's got to be me. It can't be man tonight, amen. That's right. Amen. Jesus didn't look to make a name and say, could you give me a resume? Old Brother Reed Cooper said, I'm getting so tired of people saying when they need a pastor, they say, would you please send me a resume? Yeah. He said, bless God, next time we're going to write on it, preach. Ain't that right?
That's right.
That's right, I know it is. Amen. Nicodemus didn't understand. You say it's so simple, preacher, it is. It's so simple that the wisest man in the world can't attain it. It's so simple that the professor down at the university scoffs at it.
That's right.
And says, them bunch of fools. We laughing at him tonight. And we saying, God, open that man's eyes. He don't know what we know.
Right.
Thank God, he don't have the understanding we have. He don't get in the car and go back to the house and lay our heads down in peace and say, thank God I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Holy Ghost lives in my heart. Amen.
Right.
Can I give you what I really think? I think there's in the back of a little neighborhood there somewhere in the street. I believe the wind blows. And I believe Nicodemus looked so puzzled at Jesus, which he knew his heart. Jesus wasn't sitting there wondering, I wonder what Nicodemus is thinking. He knew that crowd over there. When he preached, he said, why are they reasoning in their hearts? He said, is it easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to take up thy bed? Well, he said, I can do them both. And this is where I believe he got him. He said, Nicodemus, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and I believe when he said that, Moses. Wait a minute, well, he's talking about Moses. And that's my man. Because he wrote the law, and we want to keep the law of Moses. And he said, Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said, the serpent in the wilderness? Yeah. You remember all these Jews that's getting bit by fiery serpents because the Lord sent them and they're dying and Moses intercedes and God says, Moses, the only hope they got is to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. And he said, all of them has been bit and dying and they'll just look. Lift up their head and look. When they look, they'll live.
Yes.
And he said, the same truth is the Son of Man's got to be lifted up on a cross. And you need to look and live.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. That's what you have to do. You got to look and live. Not look to yourself. Not look to the preacher. Not look to the congregation. Not look to nobody else. Just look and live.
Yeah.
Just look. It's not too hard to look, is it? It don't take a lot of effort to look. But if they didn't look, they didn't live.
Amen.
And he said, whosoever liveth in him hath eternal life. And then he said in the great verse that everybody knows, at the Nicodemus, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
And then he said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through the that the world through him might be saved." Nicodemus never said, "Jesus, I've been a Baptist all my life." He never said, "Jesus, my daddy was a preacher." He never said, "Jesus, I'm one of the best men the church has got." No, he said, "How can these things be?" That's what he said. Amen. You know what? The wind blew where it listed tonight. That wind can be strong, it can be mild. That's strong enough for wind to blow every leaf off of a tree. He can blow the tree out of the ground. Amen, out of the ground. Or it can just be smooth sailing. Thank God that wind is blowing. I remember when the wind started blowing on me, it was just that gentle blow. So that one hard knock, thank God the wind picked up. Amen. That's right. I still like the wind to blow, don't you? I mean, that Holy Ghost wind come through a church and just walk the aisles and say, "Hey, thank God, I love you, son." Amen. The Holy Ghost bears witness in a man's heart and lets him know he's his. I'm telling you, Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Right.
You must be born again. What a great message. They asked Mr. Whitfield one time, they said, "Mr. Whitfield, you preached 3,000 times. Oh, you must be born again." 3,000 times. Oh, you must be born again. They said, "Mr. Whitfield, why 3,000 times do you preach you must be born again?" And Mr. Whitfield said, "Because men must be born again." Amen. Oh, blessed God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for that good day that I had a second birth.
Amen.
That I've been born into His family by the second birth. Amen. That's right. He'll say, "Why? I just didn't do that just right." Don't take it and go with it. Say, "Thank God He done it right." You must be born again. Mr. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand tonight.